Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Cost of buying a home in Ireland is rising, as you know, at its fastest rate for almost 2 years. New figures from the CSO have shown. But developers are warning that a funding crunch is holding back the ability to meet housing targets set by government to build those houses that are needed. To discuss this now, I'm joined by the Managing Director of Ballymore Developers in Ireland, Patrick Phelan, and Sinn Féin TD and their spokesperson on housing, Eoghan O'Brien, both join me in studio. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. Patrick Phelan of Ballymore Developers, I might turn to you first of all, and you might explain to us why there is a funding crunch, why there's a squeeze on funding in your opinion.
I think the main reason is because of the increase in the housing targets. We've had incredible population growth in Ireland over the last number of years. It has taken time for the national planning framework to acknowledge that increase in the population over the time and to acknowledge the deficit we've had in housing supply over the last number of years. It looks likely now that that number is going to be increased to 50,000 units per year. We can have a discussion around whether that should be 50 or 60,000 units, but in whichever way it is, we all agree that we need more houses. If you look at what the development costs in relation to those houses are, there's various numbers out there, but a number I think that is reasonable to assess is something in the region of 20 billion euros. If you look at how we develop our estates going forward and on the houses in the country going forward, the National Planning Framework has an aspiration that 40% of those units will also be in relation to high density housing. And high density housing, i.e. apartments, has a higher funding requirement than a housing has. So if you break down the 20 billion, we probably need in the region of 10 to 13 billion in new funding every year to construct all of these houses.
Yeah.
Where that money has come from to date has been from the bank lenders, from non-bank lenders within the market. But the capacity of the industry to increase that up to 20 billion is currently not there and is something that we need to
review. Why is it not there? Because it seems to me that there's huge housing need in the country right now. So if I were a house builder or a developer, I would be laughing all the way to the bank because you build your home and then the need is there to pay for it.
I suppose there are questions of viability. This is a relatively low margin business. And you know, debt funders realise that. What has changed since the noughties where we had excessive lending into the system is that we've new lending rules by the central bank on to the main, what we call pillar banks. That means that a lot of their loan book cannot be exposed to risky development. And housing is relatively riskier development than some of the investment assets that they have.
So how much has lending from AIB and Bank of Ireland slowed down for residential properties now in the last while?
I think it depends on who you are. So one of the issues we have in Ireland is we have a relatively diverse property development sector. So we have a concentration in two major PLCs and then we have the likes of ourselves which fit the middle tier. So I think the answer to that question depends on what lender you have. From Ballymore's perspective, we have a very good relationship with the two builder banks and we're able to obtain funding, but we are not probably representative of the broader development sector.
So, okay, so based on figures on the Business Post just the Sunday gone, they say that lending for housing development slowed significantly in the last decade. And I want to see if you agree with this. They say AIB, in terms of residential and commercial lending, from 2011, the book was 6.6 billion. Last year, 992 million. Now, Bank of Ireland, in the figures, went from 2011, 3.7 billion. Last year, 540 million. Does that seem correct to you?
Again, from my perspective in Ballymore, we're able to obtain the funding we need for housing construction from the two pillar banks. I can't speak for the banks in relation to what the quantum of development is on their books. Certainly from our perspective, the funding is there provided you have reasonable business plans. One of the issues I see going forward and where the pillar banks do struggle is in relation to the construction of apartments, and that because of two factors. One, by their nature, they're more risky in construction. You tend to build them on a speculative basis, and also it is in the way that we fund them. Typically, a structure from the banks or the non-bank lenders is you would put 20% of your equity up front, 20 to 40% of your equity up front in these developments. Mm-hmm. The ability of the residential house building sector to fund that equity is way more constrained than it was. Effectively, the balance sheets of companies like ourselves haven't recovered to the extent that they were back in the noughties, and that equity is not in the system. If you don't have the equity, you can't release the debt funding, which is potentially out there to finish these.
So builders can't get the debt and so on.
Exactly.
Can I tell
it's
you
more
what
an equity problem than the debt?
Okay, so can I tell you what the Department of Finance have told us? They say that estimates that in order to build 50,000 homes per year, they say, that needs an average of 20 billion of development finance that will be required, which is kind of what you mentioned.
Yeah.
They say, well, the state can contribute approximately 3 billion of this on our direct construction projects. The remaining 17 billion required for development must be secured by our home builders from private sources. And that's where you say might be the problem. But they say, here's the point. Viability is key to attracting investment, and when a project is viable and the risk profile is right, the funding will be available. Now, the question I put to you, and we have Owen O'Brien here, and depending on the next election, Owen or Dara O'Brien or whoever might be the Minister for Housing, what do you need from government to bridge the gap?
Viability has been an issue, particularly in the apartment sector. That viability gap was breached by the institutional investors who were, we sourced pension money from across Europe, and they produced PRS units into the Dublin market through a combination of two things. One, a rise in interest rates across Europe, and also some of the changes we made in relation to rental caps. Ireland is no longer as attractive a destination for PRS investors. If we take the PRS investors out of the market...
What's PRS?
Private rented sector. Mm-hmm. The state has stepped in the last number of years and taken advantage of their absence within the market and filled essentially some of that gap. However, the state shouldn't be the bulk buyer of apartment schemes across the state. What's needed if we're going to hit the 50,000 target is all sources of equity and debt working on full steam.
So tell Owen what you need then.
So I think we do need to look at the viability of apartments. I think we need to look again to encourage back in the pension funds into the market what's required. I know rental caps seem on a micro basis to be controlling rents, but the reality is while there are short-term gains in maintaining rents, the longer-term impact upon supply is significant.
Okay, so let me bring Owen O'Brien in here. To meet our 50,000 plus per year, and you've set out an average of 60,000 per year in your housing policy, you need to make the building of apartments viable, and you need to welcome back pension funds.
So first of all, let's go back to the primary problem, which is if we're going to move from 30,000 to 60,000 new built homes a year, we need to dramatically increase the volume of development capital that's coming into the system. What we also need to make sure, though, is more of that development finance is actually at a lower interest rate, whether it's in the public-private sector. So in our alternative housing plan, we've set out three very specific propositions as to how to address this. The first is on the public financing side. The Department of Finance is wrong. If the total sum of public development finance is 3 billion, it's far, far too little. We would like to see all in public finance for social and affordable housing increase to about 8 billion annually. But we'd also like to see far more of that money actually pay for the building of those homes rather than for the purchase them at the end. So let's imagine, for example, Pat is doing a development. The state has entered into a turnkey agreement to buy some of those units for social affordable homes. Pat has to use his expensive private capital to build those. The state comes in and buys them at the end. That is the most inefficient way, both for Pat and his financing and the state. So first of all, more direct state investment in social affordable homes, but also using that more efficiently to free up private sector capital, and therefore you get a double win. That's the first thing. The second thing then is we have a state lender created by the last government called Home Building Finance Ireland. Mm-hmm. It was meant to get lending at more competitive rates to the small players, but also to the medium-sized players like Ballymore. The problem is it's too expensive. It's more expensive than the mainstream banks. And what I'm hearing when I'm talking to private residential builders and developers is that it's not a viable option. So,
well, hang on a second here, because I have a statement in relation to Home Building Finance Ireland, which was established in 2019, says the government, to help the increase the supply of new homes in the state through the provision of debt finance. And at the end of June 24, they say, that body had approved funding for 11,200 new homes in 162 developments across 23 counties. And they had total loan approvals of 2.1 billion euro at the end of June 24. And that's an increase, they say, of 23% since the end of June 23. So that's quite significant, is it not?
The real question, though, is how many of those developers would have got access to mainstream bank or development finance anyway, and many of them would have done. Home Building Finance Ireland was meant to be actually filling a gap for people who couldn't get finance. So Pat mentioned the smaller players. They're telling me right now the average cost of finance from HBFI is 10 to 13%, whereas the banks are about 7%. That makes no sense whatsoever.
How do you make the building of apartments more viable?
Well, first of all, if the finance is available at a more competitive rate, that assists, right?
And then do you do that?
So HBFI, you do it through legislation. There are two specific funding offers that we would legislate for HBFI to offer.
So sorry, can you explain to me, do you dig dictate to the banks then what they can lend?
No, so Home Building Finance Ireland is a state lender.
State agency,
it was established by legislation. It's funded through ISIF and commercial sources. And it has a number of functions.
So we would like to change. At cost, do you borrow and then lend at cost, or how do you do it?
Let me answer the question because it's important that people understand this. We would change the legislation underpinning HBFI and we would mandate it to provide two additional products. One would be a product for the kind of small builder developer, particularly outside of Dublin and the commuter belt. They would be charging a commercial rate of finance, but it would be significantly lower than the banks are currently offering because the HBFI get their funding from the Strategic Investment Fund. They get that at a lower rate and they should pass on that lower rate.
Do you know what rate it would be as of today?
So these things are commercially sensitive. We understand that the rate typically that they might get it from ISIF is kind of 2.8 to 3 point something percent. But the legislation then forces HBFI to charge a much higher rate when they actually go to the small sector.
So reduce that, you say.
But let me talk about the apartments, because it's really important. Because there is a problem. Nobody can build apartments to sell or to rent at a reasonable price in our inner urban core in the private sector at the minute. And it's not the fault of folks like Ballymore Eustace. It's the way the system is set up. Again, in our housing plan, we have a very, very specific set of supports, which is designed particularly to solve the problem of higher density inner urban apartment developments and others. It's called the Compact Development Site Programme. That would bring together, again, a second bespoke product from Home Building Finance Ireland in recognition that we would be meeting our climate change targets by having higher density inner urban homing. That would be lower interest rates. Yeah. We would have...
In terms of bringing in pension funds, is that a yes or a no from you? Because you've been very wary of it.
It depends on what they're doing. So I have no problem whatsoever if pension funds want to come in and facilitate the building of homes.
Well, you've been highly critical of it.
No. We're highly critical of pension funds who don't actually build anything, but they let other financiers and other developers do all the hard lifting and then come in and buy those at the end and then charge extortionate rents. The difficulty is, one of the reasons why pension funds won't come in at the early stage of development is the risk is too high, right? They're long-term, low-yield, low-risk. So our compact development support programme, through a combination of lower-cost finance, site servicing and master planning, would make the job of actually getting involved in higher density developments much easier.
But this sounds like Housing for All. You're saying we need a mix of development here.
Well, we've, first of all, always said we have a mix of development, but two things. What we're proposing is more than double what the government is proposing, both in terms of units and state investment.
Okay.
But also all of the barriers that this government and its predecessor have put in place, both of private and public sector residential developers, have to be moved. We need more good quality public and private
homes.
Let
me get a response to Patrick.
But at more affordable prices, something is not being delivered currently.
Does that sound like a solution to you?
Apartment viability is down to, some of it is down to funding costs, and Owen's right, if we can make that cheaper, that's great. I think there are a lot of soft costs in relation to the construction of all housing within Ireland. And if you look across Europe at comparable studies, our built cost is generally comparable to those across Europe. Where we differ is in relation to soft costs, and that's a combination of levies, VAT, connection charges. You've seen already the success that the government, current government, has had in increasing commencements when they gave a levy holiday. Those things matter and they improve the viability, and actually they will have as big an impact as funding costs. I think Owen is correct in terms of, if we can, you know, reduce the amount of equity that's required, if we can make construction of apartments a less risky prospect. I'm a believer in private capital. Owen is potentially a believer in more public capital. I think it's actually a combination of both. We are going to need both sets of capital firing at all cylinders, pumping money into the system to deliver the 60,000 homes that are needed. And I think it's not a question of either or. It's a question of bringing all of those together, looking at viability to ensure that people are able to both rent and buy apartments at affordable levels.
Okay.
And, you know, us house building community, we're ready. We've got the capacity to do so.
But the conditions need to be right.
The conditions need to be right from the government.
I must say,
ourselves.
I appreciate you giving us your perspective, because it's not often we hear it in detail. And we will come back to it as this progresses, this conversation. Patrick Phelan, Managing Director of Ballymore Developers. Owen O'Brien of Sinn Féin, I'm going to hold on to you for just one more second, because I could ask you about a number of crises engulfing Sinn Féin at the moment. But let's talk about the current day one. Who's the chair of PAC?
Well, quite interestingly, despite all of the bluster from some in government and opposition, the business committee of the Dáil met today. They unanimously agreed to recommend Mairead Farrell to be proposed for a vote in the Dáil next week to be the chair of the PAC.
Some of the members will say they won't cooperate.
Well, first of all, it was a unanimous decision to recommend Mairead as the proposed chair. So that is the official position of the business committee.
If the committee members of PAC won't accept Mairead Farrell as a chair, where do you go from there?
First of all, it's a vote of the Oireachtas, and the business committee is representative of the parties in the Oireachtas. Obviously, there's going to be a vote next week, but let's be very clear. The chair of the PAC, like all Oireachtas committee chairs, is determined through the d'Hondt system based on the proportional size of your party. The largest opposition party always gets to be the chair of PAC, and it would be an enormous departure, from correct protocol and oversight of government for anybody to try and block that.
But in a situation where Sinn Féin has found itself removing the chair, the Sinn Féin chair of PAC, and trying to replace it with another member, and the opposition to you, the government, is saying, hang on a second here, we're not happy with the answers that we've been given. We don't feel there's enough transparency in relation to all of the serious questions that have been raised about Sinn Féin's conduct over the past week over various issues. We want fuller transparency before we cooperate. I mean,
well, first of all, let's be very clear. The function of PAC is set out in the Constitution. Is to hold state agencies and government to account with respect to the expenditure of public money. And given the appalling waste of public money that's currently underway in the Children's Hospital and a range of OPW projects and others, I think anybody who interferes with the Public Accounts Committee undertaking its constitutional functions is making a mistake. But let's also be very clear. Over the last 4 years, this government has seen ministers and ministers of state resign in very controversial circumstances, in many cases never providing any answers to the Oireachtas. Sinn Féin never interfered with the consequent changes to committee personnel and committee chairs.
OK, those, but it's a right fine mess we have now, isn't it? When Sinn Féin is trying to replace a Sinn Féin chair of PAC with another member of Sinn Féin, you can't categorically and unequivocally tell me that Murray Farrell will be accepted.
So that question has to be put to those parties who have said they're blocking it. They didn't block it when they had the chance to do so today at the Business Committee. It's time for them to put up or shut up.
Okay.
Mairead Farrell is an outstanding candidate for chair of PAC. And people would ask questions if they tried to stop the largest opposition party chairing that committee in the final weeks of this government. People would actually start asking, is there an ulterior motive? Do they want us to actually stop exposing the terrible wastage of public money that's been taking place under this government for the last 4 years?
The message from Sinn Féin this evening in relation to this is put up or shut up. Eoin O'Brien of Sinn Féin, thank you very much indeed. Beforehand, Patrick Phelan, Managing Director of Ballymore in Ireland, thank you as well.